Our main passage is going to be in Colossians chapter 2, but we're going to get there. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 1. So go ahead and turn there in the New Testament to Colossians chapter 1. That's where we're going to be in God's Word today. And again, today is Harvest Day at Start Baptist Church. And I want you to know over the past few weeks, I've just been thinking about Start Baptist Church and what this church has meant to my life. I started coming here way back when I was probably 12 years old, 11, 12, 13 years old. I was a part of the student ministry here, and then I grew up, and my wife and I got married here, and we've been here ever since. Thank you for putting up with me and, you know, putting up with us all these years. I was trying to think, like, almost 40 years of my life have been at Start Baptist Church, and in some form or some capacity, some kind of way, God has allowed me to serve at Start Baptist Church. Like I said, in youth ministry, I was ordained as a deacon here many years ago, and then I surrendered to full-time ministry, and I really thought God was going to take me somewhere, and he left me here. And, you know, it's like, okay, God, is this really what you want? And I'm thankful that he did, because I'm in the best place I could be. I love this place. And I wasn't looking for a hand clap, but thank you. But God is good. And so over these past few weeks, I've just been thinking about Start Baptist Church. And really and truly, I can only come up with three words, but it's the best three words that I think I can use. And here they are. Thank you, God. That's I've just been sitting at my desk and driving in my truck and walking up to Chick-fil-A and running a race with a bunch of people on a hot Saturday morning. And in my mind, I just keep saying those words again. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's something as Christ followers, we ought to say all day, every day. Because he is good, amen. And he's always good. And nothing changes that. I know sometimes we don't feel it. I know sometimes circumstances, right? They scream out loud, where is your God? What has your God done? But I'm just going to tell you something. God is good no matter what the circumstances may be. And no matter how we feel, he's always, always good. And I love looking back. I love looking back. I love remembering. As a matter of fact, when you read the Bible, especially when you move through the Old Testament, God says, remember. He says it all the time. Hey, remember. And then you go into the New Testament, and Jesus says the same thing. He says, remember, right? And the disciples, when they, you know, when they're preaching and teaching, and when Paul writes his letters, they constantly use that word, remember. So I think looking back is a good thing. And that's kind of what I've been doing. I've been looking back and going, okay, God, you did that. God, you did that. God, you did that. Thank you, God. And I know something else we like to do. We like to look forward, don't we? Don't we like to look forward? Like you know me, I love Christmas. I mean, I got a Christmas countdown calendar in my office, and it works every day of the year. Like Christmas Day, it's like, okay, it's here. And then the day after Christmas, I'm like, okay, we got 364 days left. Right? We look forward, don't we? I mean, I do that. People come in my office, and on my wall, I've got my calendar, and I've got my next marathon countdown, right? I mean, I got three of them in there right now, and it's 70 days till 100 and whatever days, 200. I mean, we love to look forward, and here's the thing. It's okay to look forward. I think we should look forward, and I think we ought to look forward to what God is going to do. See, I can know that God's going to do something looking forward because I've looked back and said, well, God did that, so God can do this. But here's the thing. If we catch ourselves looking back too much and we catch ourselves looking forward too much, then we miss right now. We miss the opportunity to celebrate God today, right? To celebrate God today. And I absolutely want to celebrate God today. I want to celebrate God's presence and God's goodness today, especially this day that we call Harvest Day. That's what it's all about. It's being thankful to God for right here, right now. Yes, you've been good to us in the past. Yes, we know your promise that you will always be good to us. So we know that if tomorrow comes, if you allow it, if you give it to us, if the next week, the next month, the next year comes and you give it to us, we know that you're going to be good. But God, today, right now, I'm going to celebrate you. That's really what Harvest Day is all about. But here's what I also believe. I believe that the Bible challenges us. I believe the Bible encourages us as believers in Jesus Christ to overflow with thankfulness. And that's really what I want to talk about today. Are you a person? Are you a believer in Jesus Christ who is overflowing with thankfulness? Because here's the thing. If you're overflowing with thankfulness, then it's getting on somebody else. Do you hear me? If you're a person that is overflowing with thankfulness, think about a river, because that's how Paul uses it. He uses it, you know, agricultural terms. He talks about being planted. He talks about being rooted. He talks about overflowing. We're going to see that in the passage today. Think about a river that overflows its banks, right? It gets stuff wet that don't normally get wet when it's overflowing. And so here's my question. Are you a person overflowing with thankfulness? Is your thankfulness getting on somebody else in your home, in your workplace, in your school? Because as believers, we ought to be overflowing with thankfulness. Not just on harvest day, but any day that God gives us to breathe air again. Any day God gives us to see someone else, to speak to someone else, to be around someone else, am I today choosing thankfulness? Am I going to overflow with thankfulness? See, Paul begins his letter to this church in Colossae with a powerful thank you. So I want you to look at it with me. Colossians chapter 1, look at verses 3 and 4, how Paul opens this letter up. He says, we always, what's the next two words? Thank God, right? Do you know where Paul was when he wrote this letter? He was in jail. He was in prison. The circumstances wasn't calling for thankfulness, but guess what? Paul chose thankfulness. He chose it. So he says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith. We have heard of your faith. Let me say that again. We have heard of your faith. You know what their faith was doing? It was overflowing, right? It was getting on other people. It was touching other people. It was making an impact. And so he says, when we pray for you, we always thank God for you because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love you have for all of God's people. That's a pretty powerful opening. I don't know about you, but when I get a letter, man, I hope it opens up like that. I hope it's, hey, Brother Jeff, you don't do this. Hey, Brother Jeff, you don't do that. Hey, Brother Jeff, we don't like. Man, how many of you like them kind of letters that starts off, hey, you owe? Anybody like them letters? No. I'm going to tell you, I like them letters that start off with, I thank God for you. Right? I thank God for you. I love them Thanksgiving letters that we get. And so Paul, he opens up this letter and understand the church at Colossae, they were dealing with heresy. Okay? So let me just tell you about this church. They were dealing with heresy. Okay? Many theologians believe that Paul had never really even been there. It was Epaphras who went there because Paul reached him and Paul gave him the gospel, and he took the gospel there. But this church, right, Paul took them in as his own. But they were dealing with heresy. See, there were people all around them, and there were people that had even infiltrated this church and was spreading a false gospel, right? They were saying, well, Jesus is good, but you also need this. You also need that. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. And Paul was like, nuh-uh, Jesus is enough. And so his letter was about making sure they knew about the deity of Jesus Christ, the strength of Jesus Christ, the supremacy of Jesus Christ. So that's what the whole letter is about. But boy, all through this letter, Paul says, thank you. Thank you, God. And so there's an attitude of gratitude. There's an attitude of thankfulness all in this letter. And we see it right off the bat. He goes on, and I'm not going to read all of these verses to you, but he goes on in Colossians chapter 1, especially verses 9 through 12. He says, I will not stop praying for you, right? I'm going to keep on praying for you. He prayed for them to be filled with the knowledge of God's will. That's what he prayed for. He prayed for wisdom and understanding that the Holy Spirit would give them. He wanted this church. What did Paul want with the church in Colossae? Here's what he wanted. He wanted them to live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he wanted them to please him. Not please their community, not please each other. He wanted them to live in such a way, right, that they were walking worthy of the calling that God made on them, that God called them to, which is Jesus Christ. And he wanted that church to please him. To please him. Here's what I found. It's really hard for me to try to please you. It really is. Because guess what? It don't happen a lot. I'm going to let you down, right? I can't do enough to keep you pleased. But here's what I found. If I aim to please God, then he's going to take care of the rest. If I aim to please God, then he's going to take care of the rest. He's going to urge me with my spirit to do this, to do that. If I'm urged by you to do this and do that, it ain't going to end up well, I can tell you. But if the Spirit of God urges me and the Spirit of God leads me and I'm aiming to please him, he's going to take care of the people around me. And so Paul says, I pray that you have wisdom. I pray that you have understanding. I want you to live a life worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to please him. And then he gave three reasons, okay? He gave three reasons why, right? Why the church is important in the community. Number one, you will bear fruit in all the good works that you do for the Lord. You will bear fruit in all of the good works that you do for the Lord. Number two, you will grow in the knowledge of God. In other words, one of the things we're about at Start Baptist Church is we want to connect, right? You ready? Y'all know this. We want to connect, love, and serve. And what that looks like is it's evangelism. We want people to know God. We want people to know God's love for them. We want people to know Jesus Christ, lived for them, died for them, rose from the grave for them. We want people to connect with God. And when they connect with God, then we can connect with each other. All right? So that's called evangelism. That's what it's called. Not only that, we want to keep on connecting. We want to keep on reading God's word, teaching God's word. That's called discipleship. We want to grow together in our faith. Grow together as individuals, yes, but grow together as a body of Christ in our faith. That's called discipleship. So at Start Baptist Church, we're about connecting. That's evangelism and discipleship, but we're also about loving and serving. You know what that is? That's ministering. And it really is a cycle. So we want to evangelize. We want to see lost souls saved, and when they're saved, we want them connected. We want them plugged in to God and to one another. That's discipleship, and then we want to send them out, right? We want to go outside of these walls, and we want to love and serve our community. That's called ministry. And guess what happens when you go outside of these walls and you connect, you evangelize, and you disciple, right? You get to love and serve people. You get to meet them where they're at. Sometimes it's physical needs. Sometimes it's food. Sometimes it's clothes. Sometimes a house burns up, right? Sometimes somebody needs a wheelchair ramp. Sometimes somebody needs a roof. Sometimes somebody needs their car fixed. I don't know what that looks like, but I know we've done it all, right? And so what happens is when you get to meet people, then all of a sudden, guess what you get to do? You get to make sure they know why you're there. We're here because we love God and we know that God loves you. And guess what you start doing? You start evangelizing. And then guess what you get to do? You get to invite them. You get to plug them in. So you get to disciple. And then guess what? Now you got somebody else who gets to go out with you and minister. It really is just a rat on a wheel in the cage, right? We just keep spinning it, man. Just keep spinning it. Evangelize, discipleship, minister. Evangelize, discipleship, minister. And so what happens is Paul says that we can bear good fruit, right? We can bear fruit that is good and that it points to God, and we can grow together in the knowledge of God. And then a third thing that he says right here in Colossians chapter 1 is that we can go out and give thanks. He says, give joyful thanks to the Father. So really and truly, Paul gives us three good marks of a healthy church that is living the life worthy of the calling God has placed on them in Jesus Christ. That's what he says. You'll bear fruit. You'll grow in the knowledge of God's will for you as individuals and as a church, and you will be thankful. You will just overflow with joyful thanks. So here's the question. How can we, Brother Jeff, how can we as believers bear fruit for God? How can we grow in the knowledge of God, and how can we keep on giving thanks to God every day? Regardless of what it feels like in our lives, regardless of what the circumstances look like in our lives. Hey, listen, the past couple of weeks have been hard in our country. We've seen so much chaos, so much division, and you know what? We can get easily distracted, can't we? We can get easily distracted and forget that God, who was on the throne, still is on the throne. And God, who was on the throne and still is on the throne, will always be on the throne, no matter how dark and ugly it might get in our lives. Right? God's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He don't change. And guess what? I'm his child. And you're his child if you're in Christ Jesus, and Christ Jesus is in you. So why would I stay distracted? Why would I stay discouraged, right? Why would I stay there when I know who God is? And I know who I am, and I know what my purpose is. My purpose is to give him glory. My purpose is to bring him praise, and I can't do that going, oh, no, what are we going to do? Oh, poor pitiful me. It's hard to give God glory and praise when I'm surrounded and bathing in fear, surrounded and bathing in doubt and in chaos. So how can I as a believer bear good fruit for God? How can I as a believer grow in the knowledge and the understanding of God? How can I be a person in this world overflowing with thankfulness? Well, here it is. It really is this simple, okay? Here it is. We must surrender to God, and we must rely on the power of the Holy Spirit in us daily. Daily. Every day that God gives me, I wake up and I ought to say, thank you, God, for a good night rest. Thank you, God, for an opportunity to swing my feet off this bed and onto the floor. Thank you, God, that you've given me another day today. But God, help me be surrendered to you right now. Don't let me get caught up in all the things I got to do today, all the places I got to go today, all the people I'm going to have to see today. Don't let me get distracted. Well, today's going to be hard because I've got to do. Oh, no, God, help me right now to surrender to you right now, to you right now, regardless of what my day looks like, regardless of how busy I might be today. God, help me surrender to you. And God, I can't do this today by myself. I can't do this today in and of myself. So God, I'm going to rely on your strength in me. I'm going to rely on your strength to me and in me today. It started for me, right? If you want to ask, thank you for asking. It started for me when the Holy Spirit of God convicted me of my sinfulness. All those years ago, as a matter of fact, sitting right over there in what is now our children's worship center, it was the worship center for the whole church. I was sitting right over there, and it actually started way before that. I remember when my mom and dad planted those gospel seeds in my heart. I remember when Brother Mickey, right? When Brother Mickey was planting those gospel seeds in my heart. I also remember when Brother Wayne in a Sunday school class was planting those gospel seeds in my heart. But one moment that I remember is sitting over there in that worship center on a Sunday night when the Holy Spirit finally got me. And the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And the Holy Spirit said to me, Jeff, if you die tonight, you're going to spend eternity in hell because you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I mean, I heard the voice of God. And listen, was I scared? Yeah, I mean, yeah, 12, 13-year-old boy, I was scared. But I said, okay, I know this. I know the plan of salvation. I know the scriptures. Here's the thing. Now I believe it. Did you hear what I said? I know it. My mom and daddy taught it to me. My Aunt Nancy taught it to me. Brother Mickey taught it to me. My Sunday school teachers, Don and Sherry, Terry and Denise Parks. I can tell you all the people that told me about the plan of salvation, that told me about God's love for me, that told me about Jesus Christ who lived and died and rose again. I remember that conversation that Brother Wayne had with us in that Sunday school class before I was a member at Start Baptist Church, before I was even here. We were at Woodlawn, weren't we, Mr. Wayne? We were at Woodlawn Baptist Church. I remember that little room, and I remember that table, and Mr. Wayne always made me sit by him so he could make me be quiet. And it didn't work then, and it's still not working, is it? But I remember him saying, young men, because it was a boys' class, and we were old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. And I remember him saying, young men, one day you're going to stand before God. And you're going to have to give an account of every word and everything you've ever done to God. And the only difference will be Jesus. I remember that conversation. But the Holy Spirit convicted me that night over in that building and said, Jeff, you're lost. You don't know Jesus intimately and personally. Oh, yeah, you know all about him. You know all about church, but you are not in relationship with him and you are not a part of the church. And so in that moment when the Holy Spirit convicted me, I had a choice. I could either reject the Holy Spirit's calling in my life, conviction in my life, or I could embrace it. And that night, I embraced it. Man, I couldn't wait for the preacher to stop preaching and just offer an invitation. Like, I was ready. I was ready in that moment. He still had half a sermon to go, and I was like, would he please just hurry up? I know what the Holy Spirit's telling me I need to do. And I remember when he said amen, and he wasn't even down there in the front, and I was already walking out to meet him at the front. And so I remember that's when it started for me, right? The Spirit convicted me of my sinfulness. It was the power of God moving in my heart. And so I repented of my sinfulness. I repented of my sin. And I said, Jesus, I don't just know about you. I know you now. And you are my Savior. And I trust in the perfect life that you live. And I trust in the sacrificial death. I trust in your death on the cross. I trust in the blood that you spilled for me, God. And I want you to save me. And the Bible says that when I confess with my mouth what I believe in my heart, I shall be saved. Go read Romans and see what it says. I believe that happened to me. I know that happened to me. And so the Holy Spirit in that moment baptized me. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit indwelt me. But here's the thing, right? I've been surrendering to God a lot since then, right? Yes, that moment when I got saved, when God's salvation came to me and captured me, yes, that is a critical and pivotal moment in my life. But here's the thing. I've been trying to surrender to God every day since. And some days I haven't surrendered. Even though he has my eternity, right? And that is secure in Christ, there have been days when he hasn't had me. There have been days when I've walked on my own. And I tried to carve my own path. And there are days when I tried to live in and of myself and in of my own power. And man, I may have made it for 5 minutes. I may have even made it for 5 days. I might even have made it for 5 weeks, but eventually my power runs out. And eventually I look back and go, you know what? I wasn't really that strong anyway. I didn't really have any power. And so each day I choose to surrender to God. God, I am yours. I hear your words to me that you say in Isaiah 43, you are mine. I hear your words that you say to me in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, that I am to declare your praises today. Well, the only way I can truly declare your praises today is if I'm under you. If I'm walking in the lordship of Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? The lordship of Jesus Christ. You are my master. You are my Lord. Yes, you're my Savior, but I love you, and you tell me that if I truly love you, then I will obey your commands. I ain't making this up, by the way. Go see what Jesus says in John chapter 15. I'm going to abide in you today. I'm going to stay connected to you today, right? I'm just a branch. That's all I am. And if I'm not connected to you today, then I lose my strength. I lose my power and I lose my life. I don't truly have life apart from Christ because he is my life. And Paul says that in another one of his letters. And so I believe that is why Paul continues this letter to the church of Colossae with these incredible words, okay? So that was the pre-sermon. But the pre-sermon is longer than the sermon, so you're good. We're going to get to the food in just a minute, okay? So here we go. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And Start Baptist Church, right? This is who I believe we need to be. This is who I believe we need to be today, right now, in our community and in our world. Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord. So you heard me talking about that salvation experience, right? That connection with God in my repentance of sin and faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit baptized me. The Holy Spirit indwelt me. So Paul says, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. You know what that means? That means stay surrendered. That means keep on relying on him, right? I am thankful to God that my eternity is secure. But Jesus is more than just a get out of hell free card for me. This ain't some Monopoly game I'm playing, right? I don't have a card in my back pocket so that when I roll the dice and go to jail, I can flash that thing and say, nope, you can't have me. I'm going to heaven. No, it's more than that for me. My eternity is not over there somewhere. My eternity is right now. Our eternity as a church is right now because God has given us opportunities to do kingdom work right now. He's given us opportunities to make a difference in our community right now. And so Paul says, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him. Look at verse 7. Rooted and built up in him. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught. And look at this. Man, these words. And overflowing with thankfulness. Overflowing with thankfulness. Now, you might not have seen this, but as an English teacher, I did. Okay? If you'll notice, those words rooted and built up, those are past tense. That's past tense. That means, you know, I surrendered to Jesus Christ, and so I immediately got connected with God, and guess what? My roots are digging deeper and deeper and deeper. And what's happening is my branches, right, are growing, built up. That's past tense. That's something that has already happened, and yes, it continues to happen, but in this passage, there's only one verb that is what we call present participle, and that is overflowing. Did you see it? Rooted and built up, something that's already happened, and then there's that word overflowing. You know what that means? That means today, and if God gives you another day, keep on, keep on, keep on. That's powerful. So to be rooted up in Jesus, what does that mean? To be rooted up in Jesus means that we are in his word and his word is in us. And to be rooted in Jesus is the key to being built up in Jesus. Here's the thing, right? How many of you, and you don't have to raise your hands, but how many of you read this Bible cover to cover? I bet there's a bunch of you that have read it cover to cover. How many of you have read this passage of scripture today that I'm reading to you? I bet a bunch of you, if not all of you, have read this passage before. Maybe more than once. I've got 3 different highlighters on this passage. And a pencil and a green pencil. So I know at some point I've read this same passage at least 4 times. Okay? Here's the thing. I'm going to keep on reading it. Because if it was good for me yesterday, it's good for me today. And if it was good for me yesterday and if it was good for me today, it'll be good for me tomorrow too. That's being rooted in Christ. That's knowing that his word is the most important food that I can eat on this earth. As good as that brisket's going to be in just a minute. Never mind. I'm not going to talk about food while I'm talking about the word. Get you distracted. See that pastors can distract their people all the time. I didn't mean to do that. All right? But here's the thing, right? To be rooted in Jesus is to be in his word and allow his word to be in me. Not just on Sunday morning. See, we come in here and we think, oh, well, Brother Jeff will give us this on Sunday morning, and we think that one passage is going to work for us all week long. Here's the thing. It can, but I know this. You're going to get distracted somehow, some way. You're going to get discouraged somehow, some way. And guess what? You're going to need more of God's word. I need a sermon every day. I don't know about y'all. I mean, I listen to Pastor Joby Martin. I listen to Dr. Tony Evans. I read Paul David Tripp. I read Dr. David Jeremiah. Man, I feed on it. You want to know why? Because I need it desperately in my life. That's to be rooted. And as I'm rooted in Christ, what will happen is I will grow in Christ. I will be built up in Christ so that when these things that happen to us in this life, when these opportunities that come to us in this life, when they come, I'll be able to say, thank you, God. I'll be able to choose joyful thanks. And I believe that's what's happening in this passage of Scripture. One of the guys I just mentioned, Dr. Tony Evans. I love what Dr. Tony Evans said in his commentary. Listen to this. He said, the power of God in our lives will produce fruit. Let me say that again. The power of God in our lives will produce fruit. Listen, when God speaks, something happens. When God touches something with his hand, something happens. There's always fruit of God's words and actions, always. Me, on the other hand, I'm just thinking about my kids. Sometimes I will say something powerfully and my kids will do the opposite anyway. So my words didn't really have much power at all. Anybody else identify with that? Right? A lot of mamas and daddies, you don't want to raise your hand, but you know what I'm talking about. What I find is that I think I'm pretty powerful with my words and actions, and I find out that I'm not. Sometimes I got it all right here in my head, and I think, oh, I'll use these hands and I'll do it, and I just can't do it. It just don't work. It falls apart. Anybody here ever tried to build a gingerbread house? It looks so easy on the Hallmark Channel. And look, I got Hallmark Plus. It looks so easy. But then I try to do what they're doing with my hands, and I think, you know what? I'm pretty smart. I got a good education, right? I don't even have arthritis yet, so my hands are steady. And I think, man, I can do this. But I can't do it. It never, ever works. It never, ever works. But we're tempted, aren't we? We're tempted to think we are the power. We're tempted to think we are the strength. And we're tempted to think that I got this, God. I don't need you. And that's exactly what the devil wants. And then what happens when it don't work out, when you don't feel good, that's when the devil comes in and says, and you think you're a child of God? I mean, if you were a child of God, wouldn't he have? Wouldn't God? You see what happens? The devil starts to tempt you to think that you're not good enough, to think that God doesn't love you, that God's not there for you, that God has forsaken you, and God has abandoned you. And all of a sudden, you get discouraged and you get defeated, right? You get depressed. And then you just stop. You just stop. You cut all ties with people. You cut all ties with God. And how thankful are you then? I'm asking you a question. How easy is it to be thankful when you're distracted by discouragement? How easy is it to be thankful when you're distracted by fear? When you're distracted by doubt? How easy is it? You tell me. It's not. It's a lot easier to feel sorry for me. It's a lot easier for me to beg people to feel sorry for me. It's a lot easier to live that way than it is to live thankful. And that's why Paul was encouraging the church, hey, remember the Holy Spirit that stirred your heart. Remember the Jesus Christ that you believed and got your salvation, because that same power is the power that lives in you right now. And so when these heresies are coming, when these false teachers are coming, the way you know that they're lying is you know the truth. Because here's the thing, you're not going to know what a lie is unless you know what the truth is. And that's why Paul says, hey, you're rooted in the Word, and the Word is in you. Keep on being rooted, right? And don't forget, if the Word is in you and you are in the Word, then you're being built up, you're being strengthened, you're growing in your faith. You're growing in the knowledge and the understanding of God. And guess what? If you keep on doing that, then no matter what comes against you in this world, you can live thankfully. You can overflow with thankfulness. And that's it. The effect of being rooted, the effect of being built up in Jesus, is that I will overflow with thankfulness. And that was what was important. That's what Paul was saying to this church. You need to be a church that is overflowing with thankfulness. Because you want to talk about running some heresies off. You want to talk about running some false teachers off. Then you just keep being thankful to God. And you keep praising God. And you keep giving God glory. Eventually the false teachers are going to get sick of that. They're going to get tired of you listening to the Word. They're going to get tired of you not listening to them. And they'll say, well, we'll go somewhere else. Bye. If it ain't Jesus, it ain't right. If it's Jesus plus this, it ain't right. It's only Jesus. And that's what Paul is telling them. I believe that as Christ followers, our lives should point others to the love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. I believe as Christ followers, our lives ought to point to the salvation of God. The salvation of God. He wants all people to know him intimately and personally. He wants all people to come to salvation. That's 1 Thessalonians, by the way. Again, I'm not making that up. You're telling me that God wants everybody to be saved? Yes, he does. That's what the Bible says. And I stand on that. And so the true Christian life, the true Christian life is a life of thankfulness. That ought to be the marker in your life. When people ask me all the time, Brother Jeff, how can somebody else know that I'm a child of God? One of the best ways that somebody else can know you're a child of God is overflowing with thankfulness to God. I mean, you just can't help but thank God. You just can't help but be thankful. You just can't help but choose joyful thanks to God. He saved us. Is that enough to be thankful for right there? Yeah. He keeps on changing us. That's something to be thankful about. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. That's something to be thankful about. You know, when I came to God, I told you about my salvation experience. When I came to God, you know, I came with nothing. I came with nothing. I didn't have any good works to give him. I didn't have anything good to give him. My money didn't please him. Like, I had nothing. I came to God with empty hands. Here's the thing. If you think you came to God and he accepted you because you had something to give, that's a false gospel. And I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just saying, God didn't save you because you had something to give him. God saved you because Jesus Christ died for you, and you believed in that, and you repented of your sin. That's how salvation works. Salvation doesn't work when I put on a nice, pretty coat. Matter of fact, I'll take this coat off, because this coat ain't got nothing to do with me being right with God and good with God. Being dressed right. You may have wrote a big check this morning and put it in the harvest day offering and go, I pleased God. Listen to me. That's legalism. That's about what I can do to be right with God. I can't do nothing to be right with God except trust in Jesus who makes me right with God. That's it. That's all. And as we live our lives, right, if we're not rooted in his word and his word's not in us, if we're not being built up in Christ, what we can do as Christ followers is we can begin to believe that because I serve on this ministry team or because I tithe this much or because I'm at church every Sunday, we can begin to believe that we deserve more from God, that we've earned some things with God. And I'm going to just tell you something. You're missing the point of good works. Because good works ain't got nothing to do with you. Good works is about praising God and giving God glory. And if anybody's ever taught you something different, you need to go back and read the Word and see what the Word has to say about it. So it's not about me having something good to offer God. He saved me. He changed me. And as a Christ follower, now I can be a vessel of some good stuff. I can be a vessel of good works. I can be a vessel of God's love, God's grace, and God's mercy to others. I'm going to tell you, that's something I'm thankful for. I'm thankful, right? I'm thankful that people will call me and ask me a question. I had two church members this week call me and ask me questions about the Bible, ask me questions about their faith. I'm so thankful for that they would even trust me with that. And you know what I did? I pointed them to the Scriptures. I said, so here's what I believe, but go see what God says and pray about it and see what he tells you. So yeah, I shared what I believed, but here's the thing. If I don't share the Scripture, then I didn't share enough. And we got all kinds of opinions, and we got all kinds of interpretations that we want to give people. If you don't want to give them the Word of God, then you're missing the best thing that you can give them. That's why I say it's important to be in the Word and let the Word be in you. Because that's the best you can give anybody, is the Word of God. And so as Christ followers, we're vessels of God's love, his grace, and his mercy. And now we have something worthwhile to offer others. Not to offer God, we have something worthwhile to offer others. Because here's what God wants. He wants all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. That's what God wants from you and from me. And when we surrender that to him daily, when we take up the cross daily, when we deny ourselves daily and follow Jesus, then what will happen is he'll give us of himself so that we can offer it to others. And that's what we want to be as a church. Thank you, Miss Kathleen. At least somebody agrees with me. But that's what we want to be as a church, right? We want to be a church We want to be a church that's making a difference in our community. Not so Start Baptist Church can be known, but that God can be known. Not that people can say, well, there's some really good people at Start Baptist Church. No, there's a really good God that Start Baptist Church has surrendered to. That's what we want. Because here's the truth, right? Ain't nothing good about me and you apart from God. Bible says we're wicked. Bible says our desires are evil. Go read Romans chapter 3. I ain't making this up. But when we are surrendered to God and we're relying on God, He changes us from the inside out. And now instead of living for self, we live for Him. And now instead of trying to build our kingdom, we just want to be a part of His kingdom. And that's a church that makes a difference in her community. That's a church that makes a difference in our community. Now, let me tell you, and I'm telling you this from my viewpoint, I believe we're doing that, Start Baptist Church. I believe we are making a difference in our community. Ask our mission home team if we're not making a difference in our community. Ask our women's ministry, men's ministry, if they're not out there, right? Out there, meeting people where they are, just wanting to meet their needs. Are we perfect? No, we're not. Sometimes our needs going to slip through the cracks. Yeah. But that's not our want to. Our want to is to be there for everyone. Our want to is to help everyone. That's our want to. I'm not up here trying to preach a perfect church. I'm not up here trying to preach a perfect vision. Here's what I'm trying to preach. There is a perfect God who works with imperfect people. Who works with imperfect churches. And you know what? I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that. So here's the question that I end with today. Actually, it's three questions. But they go together. What am I overflowing with? And this is a question that I want you to ask yourself. What am I overflowing with in my home? What am I overflowing with at my school? At my workplace? What am I overflowing with in my church? What am I overflowing with in my community? That's a pretty powerful question, right? When people hear your voice, when people see you move, what are you overflowing with? And look, I wrote down some stuff for me. Is it fear? Do they see someone living fearfully? Do they see someone living in doubt? Do they see someone living in confusion? Do they see someone caught up in the chaos? Do they see someone who is discouraging? Do they hear someone who is disappointed? Do they hear someone who has a spirit of complaint? Always grumbling? Always complaining? What do you overflow with? I'm just asking you a question. And here's the thing. You really can't answer that. What if I asked other people about you and what you overflow? What if I went to your workplace and polled all of your workplace people? What does he or she overflow with in this place? What if you did that to me? Like, I'm not pointing at you. I'm saying all of us. What if the people around us, the people that we're in contact with, were asked the question, what does Brother Jeff overflow with when you see him at church, at work? What does Brother Jeff overflow with in the community? Just think about that question for a moment. Because the Bible says we should be overflowing with thankfulness. If we're a child of God, that should be a mark that people can't miss. And it really comes down to this. Am I surrendered to God daily? That's really what it comes down to. What you're overflowing with is what or who you're surrendered to. If you're overflowing with fear and doubt, and chaos and confusion and disappointment and disagreement, if you're overflowing with constant complaint, constant grumbling, that ain't God. That's you. That's me. Ain't no thankfulness coming out of that. That's not me focused on the salvation God has given me. That's not focused on the growth of my faith in Jesus Christ that God has given me. That's not Holy Spirit led to be a constant fearful person. To be a constant disagreeable person, to be a constant nagger. Now, do we need accountability? Absolutely. Do we need to tell the truth and sometimes that truth hurts? Absolutely. But are we doing it with gentleness and love like Jesus teaches us in the Gospel of Luke? Come back next week and I'll show you what I'm talking about. So am I surrendered to God daily? Is my life about being under the lordship of Jesus Christ? Or is my life just, hey, I got my get out of hell free card. I know where I'm going. You're on your own. You better check your salvation. If you're satisfied with going to heaven and you ain't worried about nobody around you, you better check your salvation. Is that God or is that you? Because God's changed my heart. And Jesus tells me in the Gospels that I'm supposed to love my enemies and pray for them. He says that I'm supposed to love and pray for those who persecute me, not hate them and wish them to hell. I've seen a lot of that in the last couple of weeks, by the way, by so-called Christ followers. I'm not going to get political. I'm not going to do it. So am I surrendered to God daily? That will determine what I'm overflowing with. Here's another one. Am I relying on the power of God daily? Am I relying on the power of God daily? When I know that I'm about to have a hard conversation, when I know that I'm about to enter a very difficult season, am I going, I know how to get out of this. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I know what to say. I'm an educated person. I've had experience. Am I relying on me or am I relying on God? Because I'm going to tell you, that'll be the difference maker. Not just for me, but for the person or the people that I'm in contact with. Right? It'll be a difference maker for them too. So many times we want to win over somebody instead of winning somebody. We want to win over them. We want to be right instead of pointing them to who is right? Jesus. And so whose power am I relying on? Mine? Or am I relying on the power of the Holy Spirit in my life? So here's what I want us to be. I want us to be a church surrendered daily to God. I want us to be a church relying daily on the power of God. And I want us to be a church overflowing with thankfulness daily. Like, to me, that would be one of the greatest compliments our community could give us. Man, that church is thankful. That's a bunch of thankful people. Man, I could just feel the love and the joy and the thanksgiving flowing through them. See, that's God. That's not something I can manufacture in and of myself. That is the gift of God. See, he gives me a peace that passes all understanding. He gives me a love, right, that is unshakable and unquenchable. He has grace for me every day. His mercies are new. How often? Every morning. And again, if you think I'm making this up, read your Bible. Google it. It'll point you to the scriptures I'm talking about. See, when we rely on the Holy Spirit of God, when we are surrendered to God, I'm just telling you, when we're rooted in Jesus, when we're built up in Jesus, the overflow of that, the effect of that is somebody who's thankful. Man, there's some stuff I ain't got in my life. Right? There's some stuff I ain't got. There's some stuff that I could focus on. Well, I need more of this. Oh, I need that. Oh, I need... And the more I keep going, I want this and I need that and I want this and I need that, I forget about what God's already given me. And then I wonder why I'm always disagreeable. I wonder why I'm always looking at people with condemnation and judgment. I wonder why I'm not making a difference in somebody's life. I wonder why people don't call me to pray for them. I wonder why people don't ask me what the Bible says. What are you overflowing with? Because I'm going to tell you, the people I turn to are the people that I can see joy in their lives. They're people that just, to me, are living thankfully. Those are the people I'm going to. Those are the people I'm going to because here's what I know. Those are the people that point me to Jesus. Those are the people that point me to the Bible. And that's the church. That's the church that will make a difference in her community. And that kind of difference is eternal. Do you hear me? We don't want to just be a difference maker in this world. We don't want to just be a church that puts a roof on the house and says, hey, hope you enjoy it, bye. We don't want to be a church that just invites somebody to come eat a meal with us in Halley Hall and that meal will last how long? Listen, if you were here last night, men, like, I couldn't go to sleep last night because of how much food was in my belly. But you know what? In the time I've preached, my stomach has growled 3 times. And I'm glad my microphone is on my mouth and not my belly, because you would have heard it. See, I'm not going to hide nothing from you. Right? But here's the thing. That meal in your belly ain't going to last but about 3 or 4 hours. Eventually, you're going to get hungry again. See, here's what I want. I want to feed you with something that will last. I want to give you something that will last, and that is Jesus Christ. And as a church, that's what we want. Will we be a church overflowing with thankfulness? Will we be a church that is making an eternal difference in our community? Here's what I believe. I believe we are. And I want to celebrate that right now. But Lord willing, we're going to wake up tomorrow and it's going to be Monday. It's not going to be Sunday morning with 350 people in there going, yeah, amen. No, it's going to be you out there at the school. It's going to be you at the bank. It's going to be you out there in the field. It's going to be you over there at the gas tank. It's going to be me in the mall at Chick-fil-A. Lord willing. It's going to be me and you wherever God has us. Will we choose thankfulness there like we're choosing it right now? Does that make sense? Let's be that church. Overflowing with thankfulness wherever we go, whenever we go, however God allows it. Amen? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the difference.